As many of you know, one of our dear brothers, Ray Kurowski, went to be with the Lord yesterday. He was pushing his motorcycle out of the garage to go on outreach with Pastor Butch, and he had chest pain. And he told his son, call 911, and he lied down on the couch, and that's the short story. And he went to be with the Lord. And this afternoon, yesterday, and then this morning, and then this afternoon, and Diane, his wife, and Katie were here this morning at 11, and we had a beautiful fellowship in the cafe. And I just want to share a couple things that in our worship tonight were coming to my mind, and just a couple of verses, because I feel that it would be amazing if the Lord would open our eyes more to the reality of what we are in, what we are part of. Do you believe in angels? And what is an angel? In Revelation 14:6, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. You know, angels don't usually preach. They declare news that comes from God, Gabriel, Michael. Also, they visited Abraham. Remember Abraham in the tent, with Sarah was in the tent, and they brought news from heaven. Do you believe in angels? And Jesus said, you will see angels coming and going on the Son of Man. And angels are here in this world. And we entertain them, meaning we are hospitable to strangers, because sometimes they may be an angel. That's Hebrews 13, verse 2. But we don't know, but we can believe it. They are also, like, so extraordinarily glorious that the presence of God may come through the ministry of angels. And we read that in the scripture. They also have power, and do spiritual power and power over material things like fire. Daniel was in, the three Hebrew boys. And an angel shut the mouths of the lions in the lion's den. Do you believe in angels? And that in this portion, an angel came to the earth. He came low, and he proclaimed God as the creator, not as the redeemer, because men do that. We declare God redeeming. That's the glorious gospel. And here we have a loud voice, verse 7, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of judgment has come. Worship him that made heaven and earth. That's all that his message was. He saw heaven and earth made by God, and the sea and the fountains of waters. And that's what what the angel declared. The second thing I want to say is that in heaven there are people there in what we could call intermediate heaven, or heaven waiting for. When people go to heaven, do they have their glorified body in heaven? I mean, the material body is in the sea, it's in the ground, it's in the air, it's in the biosphere. Their material body is not yet glorified, not until the last trump. The trump of God sounding, and our bodies will be glorified. So they are in heaven. And look at chapter 6 of Revelation. And we read here, verse 10, or 9. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God. This is a category. It's a category of people. How are they categorized? They are the ones that were martyred. They were slain for the word of God. Pastor Mark mentioned ISIS beheading the Christians on the seashore there in Egypt some time ago. Martyred for the faith. They are in heaven. And this is what they say, verse 10. How long, O Lord? You see, there is heaven, and Ray Kurowski went there yesterday. Praise God. Man, he went there. And I don't know, it's just amazing to think about it. He left his body, and he flew away, Psalm 90, verse 10. He left his mortal body without sin, and he went to be with God, and there he has a body, because you don't have spirits and souls floating around, but he has a body, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2. And in heaven, in the presence of God, with great peace, there is a focus and a concentration on planet Earth. Why do we know that? Because of the way this is written. They are martyred for the word of God, and they are in heaven, and they're asking God, how long? It also means they have emotion, that the people in heaven have some emotion. I like the thought that they got some skin in the game. They got something going on. They know where this is going, and they're anticipating the coming of Christ. For Christ came the first time, but he's coming again. And there are people that are in heaven that are saying, they are crying, it says in verse 10. They cried with a loud voice. Yeah, wow. Can you feel it? In a little bit of a way, I can. I'm saying also, when is the rodeo over? When is the circus over? When is the devil put away? When is the bride completed? When is the marriage of the Lamb? When is the kingdom coming on the earth? When are we going to deal with all the crazy foolishness that is happening in the world? When will there be the end of the pot, the end of, when will there be? When will there be the end of poverty and injustice and murder and thievery and debauchery? When will that happen, I wonder? We have a sin nature. These people in heaven do not have a sin nature. And they're anticipating. And look at what they do, verse 10. They are saying, how they cry out with a loud voice, and this is a category of people. Now, let me talk about categories of people for a minute. You're in heaven. Do you believe there is diversity and variety in heaven? I do. I've seen artists portraying heaven like this, like we look like a military rank and file. Saints and angels all like the same form in rows. Have you ever seen it? The rows of the saints. Well, I mean, I don't see that in this world. I look around in this room. The biggest mix of messed up people you could ever see. Everybody's retina is different. Everybody's fingerprint is different. Everybody's face is different. One man said to a preacher, will I recognize my wife when I go to heaven? And he said very wisely, well, I don't think when you go there, you'll be any more dumb than you are here in this world. If you can recognize them here, I'm sure you can there. Okay. Okay, verse 10. Here it is. How long, O Lord? Now, there was a category of people. John was in heaven, and he said in chapter 7, we'll go back to that in a minute, but I want you to see something. In chapter 7, I Verse 13. One of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Now, when you go into a grocery store and you look at all the different varieties of vegetables and everything, and you can say, what are these? And your mother says, those are kiwis. What are those? Those are eggplants. In heaven, John saw a group of people and he said, what are these? These are those that came out of great tribulation. There was something different about that category. I simply say that I believe in the variety, and I also believe that there is something that is so amazing. As we said this morning, this earth is God's footstool, and he has a throne. And that throne is going to be in the city of God, the heavenly Jerusalem. And that city dimensions is given in the Bible. It is 1,500 miles wide, long, square, deep, long, and wide. And it's a huge city. And sometimes it's called the bride. But then the angel said, do you want to see the bride? And John said, yeah. And so he took John to a high mountain. This is in heaven. Why am I saying these things? Because I'm like learning with you, and I want to lead you into thinking and believing what the Bible is saying, and understanding that we are only pilgrims passing through, and that we are going somewhere, and the angels are one category, and there are different kinds of angels, but I'm saying in heaven there will be the redeemed, and we are so honored that we have fallen and we have been redeemed. We are so honored that we have been demonic, we've been saved, translated into the kingdom of his dear son. And now we are a bride that is being prepared to be presented. And the Father is also very eager to give the bride to his son. It's happening. I mean, it's being prepared. The bride is being prepared out of every nation, kindred, and tongue. Angels are amazing, I'm sure of it. Sometimes in just the meditation of angels, I could imagine being in the presence of an angel and being overwhelmed with the godliness, with the glory. Even it says here in the scripture in 19, Revelation 19, that when John saw one, he thought it was God. This is 19 and verse 10, I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, I'm sorry, it's not an angel, it's a brother. He said unto me, do not worship me. Verse 10, I am your fellow servant. I am of your brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Imagine a brother in heaven that is so glorious and so incredible that John thought he was God, and he bowed down to worship him. But he was not God. And he said, do not worship me. I am a brother. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but when we see him, we will be like him. What an honor. The angels also greatly great in their power. Now go back to chapter 6 with me, please. And we will make a few points here. This is good. This is longer than I thought it would be. But I'm moving in this. I love it. Why not this summer say to yourself, oh, hey, I'll be at the beach sometimes, I'll be in a lawn chair. Why don't I read the book of Revelation through? Why don't I read the interesting chapters over and over again, maybe 7 times? Read it again 10 times, 20 times. Read a portion and think about it, and God will teach you. Look at chapter 6 and verse 10. How long, with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord? And then what do they say? The martyrs, holy and true. Holy and true. They knew God is not a liar. God is not a deceiver. God is not unrighteous. They knew this because they're in heaven in the presence of it. And then they say to God, this is beautiful, because I believe that people in heaven are talking to God. I believe people in heaven are reflecting back to God his holiness and his truthfulness. I believe that we are doing that even here on the earth. Did you know that if you receive the word of truth in your spirit, in your heart, then you pray with that truth? That's how our prayers move mountains. Do you know that when Christ dwells in you and me, then we move in that reality, and that reality has an effect on the world that we live in? It does. We are also angry about some things in a good way. Remember the Quaker said about somebody, he said, the problem I have with that guy is that he doesn't hate right. I mean, we are to hate, love righteousness and hate iniquity. We do not hate people. We love people. We pray for people. But we hate iniquity wherever it is, whether it's in me or in you or wherever it might be. It is just absolutely wrong, and it hurts people. And these people in heaven are occupied with the earth. Why? Because this is where everything boils down to the issue of Christ's victory. If he is victorious, then bring it here. If Christ is the king, then bring the king. If the reality of Christ's mind is the right one, then bring it into this world, Lord. And how long, this is what they're saying. Dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Our blood is not avenged. The same demonic spirits that murdered us are murdering others. The same demonic spirits that are lying when we were alive in the first, second, third centuries, those same spirits are lying and wreaking havoc in the world. How long, Lord, will there not be righteousness and judgment coming into this world? How long, God? Do you see the yearning? You see what it is? It's not wrong to feel these things. It's not wrong to hate iniquity. It's not wrong to anticipate the coming kingdom. It's not wrong to look for it and anticipate it. Okay. Verse 11. And white robes were given to them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. It's okay. It's coming. But nobody knows the hour. In heaven, they don't know. The Father knows, and he did not tell the Son. If he had told the Son could have told the disciples. But the Son did not know. The angels in heaven do not know. The Father knows in his sovereign will and plan. And of course, the Son knows because he is God. But as far as the humanity of Christ goes, he was not saying it. We do not know the time, but it is coming. Now we are here in this period of time fulfilling a particular purpose that comes from God. And every one of us are here for this reason, to be a part of a local assembly, as we said this morning, and walk in simple faith, like our brother Ray Kurowski, as we explained this morning. Because he had gone through a nightmarish trial with his family. A horrible thing had happened. And naturally, and under somehow understanding it, it drew a wedge between him and God. He had some kind of root in bitterness, some kind of problem inside, something that troubled him and that he couldn't resolve it. And he wasn't here in the church. I do not know the time frame, 10, 15 years or so. And I remember when he came back and I talked to him in the back and I knew what he was dealing with. And he goes, I must be here. I must be here. God is speaking to me. I must be here. After a long period of time and in his own way, and his suffering and his trouble. And God took it away, plucked it out of his heart, took the root of bitterness, took the pain away. And this brother was here at least the last 13 years, coming to everything, listening to God. And those that knew him knew the sweetness. It knew the clear sound, knew his heart attitude, watched his face, saw his simple ministry of trust, and we loved him so much. Thank you, God. That's the lesson, Lord, for all of us. Everybody, people here and people that are not here, that should be here. That every believer needs a local assembly. I do not care about your troubles. I care about the reality of the fact that the kingdom of heaven came here. And the manifestation of that kingdom is through Jesus Christ. And he's the head of the body and we are members. And one day we will be with him. And all the little suffering that we go through in this life is a small thing compared to the glory that will be revealed, and we'll not be ashamed. He that believes will not be ashamed. Romans 10:13. You get over your craziness by faith. You get over you all. I'm talking to all of us. I get over our crazy. I just show up. I get over my craziness, whatever those things are, all those feelings and ideas and complexities and everything there is. Just there's a chair in this room with your name on it, and you need it. And by the way, nobody knows the day that you and I are going to be gone in a minute. How many days we got left on this earth, who knows? What is the plan of God? I do not know, but I love reading about it here in this book. And I believe there's something much greater that is anticipated, that is coming, much greater that is there in heaven waiting for us. And God will say, well done, my good and faithful servant, you just showed up. And we say, yeah, Lord, I wasn't much, but I did show up. And remember that statement, I think it was Pastor Martell said it years ago. In one of our conventions, he said, Lord, there's thousands of other people that could be doing what I'm doing. And the Lord said, amen. That's for sure. But you just happen to be the guy that shows up. That's all. None of us have anything to glory in, but somehow we took it seriously. And somehow the Spirit led us in our weaknesses and in our troubles, and we just showed up in the local assembly. And many times showing up, we would say, what's going on here? Okay, the message is pretty good. Thank you, Lord. The song was nice and sweet. I could have listened to that on the radio. I could have heard the message. I could have read a book or something. But the Lord said, no. You're reading a book or listening to a message at home or listening to songs and worship or saying a prayer in a prayer closet. Thank you very much. That is part of your life. But to show up in the local assembly and make it a part of your life, this is the plan of God. We are ordained of God to be part of a local assembly. We are ordained of God to learn the apostolic doctrine, to fellowship, to say prayers as a body, and to eat bread, break bread. You'll be surprised. Sometimes the bread is broken and the eyes are opened and they see Jesus in Luke 24. Sometimes we'd be surprised that Abraham and Sarah are there, and two angels and God himself, Christ, comes and visits Abraham and says, you will have a son. And Sarah laughed about it. Because when God speaks, sometimes we cannot even believe it would be true. We laugh in our unbelief. And the angel said to Abraham, I just heard Sarah laugh. And she goes from outside, from inside, I didn't laugh. They checked the text. You did too. You did laugh. And guess what? When that little boy was born 9 months later, what did they call him? Laughter. Isaac. Laughter. Because God has made me to laugh. I laughed in unbelief, and after it was born, I laughed in faith. I believed it. One way I don't believe it, and another way I do believe it. In either way, God is a humorous God. There's laughter on both ends. It's amazing. So, did we finish that? Verse 11, I think. No, 6:11. Rest a little till your fellow servants and also your brethren that should be killed as you were killed should be fulfilled. There's more killings said will happen. And wait. The evil hasn't yet been filled to the top. It's only this far. But more murder and killing, more hatred, more of the work of the devil is going to happen. But you calm down here in heaven. Here's a white robe. And there is a time coming. And they are being counseled by God in heaven. And I think there may be times when they are looking at heaven and watching in this beautiful insight and enlightenment of heart and mind, and they are recognizing the depth of what is happening. They're realizing the history unfolding. They're anticipating the coming reality of God on the earth. And now here we are in this world. And we are making these things known from this book as we see through a glass darkly. So, I feel like there's us here and those there. And those there are really, I don't want to say on the edge of their seat. But I want to say they're much more alive than we are. They're much more aware. They're much more eager. They're much more anticipating. And that's amazing. Thank you, God, for your unfolding plan. There is no anxiety there. There is no restlessness in that sense. But they are there participating in what is happening by being in the stadium, and we are on the field. And we are running a race of faith in Hebrews chapter 12. And we put our baggage aside and we just run our race of faith. It's about faith in God. That's all that it is. It's just faith in God. And we're living by faith in God. And we're sharing our faith with people by faith. And we go to the church by faith. And we're participating in it by faith, and we're living by faith, and we pray for the sick by faith, and we pray for missionaries to go out by faith, and we pray for the harvest to happen, and we live all this life by faith. Amen. We believe in angels, and we believe in the saints, And we believe in our church and the churches of God around the world. We believe in it. And we don't see so well, but we see better than most. That is unbelievers for sure. We see something. We have a little bit of an idea. And how could you ever figure out that that man on that cross, on that dirty day, in a dirty country, in the first century, is God himself dying for the sins of the world, raised from the dead, and being preached tonight in Baltimore? How could you ever figure out that that person sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts and we are talking about these things that we have not seen? Blessed are those that have not seen me, but they believe. We are blessed. Our families are blessed. Our bodies, physical bodies, we are healthier, better. Our minds are enlightened and we are on a journey. We are pilgrims. We're not much, but we have the living God with us. And one day we will not be ashamed. We'll say, hallelujah. Thank you, God. It was and is like you said. Okay? Amen. Praise the Lord. Imagine. It's just amazing that we are going to heaven. It's just amazing. It's our comfort. It's our way of thinking. We are going to heaven. Thank you, Lord. We're going to heaven. It's now, look at Revelation 21, verse 1, please. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. So this is a sequence, and this is not yet, but this is the old earth and the old heaven. There is a new heaven and a new earth. We will not go into that because there's a couple things to say about it, but just to think about it. There is a new heaven and a new earth, and there is a city. In that city, the builder and maker is God. And we have been looking for that city where there is not, you know, it's like amazing. No police station, no hospital. You can go through a long list. No cemeteries, no ambulances, no jails. There's no bad press. There's no slander, no lie, there's no deceit. It's amazing. This is a community, a huge city by its measurements that are given here in the scripture. And yet, sometimes you could feel coldness when you think of a city, maybe, or confusion or something. But I think of a table with my friends. I think of communion with people that is so transparent and so pure and so holy, and yet it is you. It's really me. It's me. It's the real me and the real you at that table. And maybe there's a small number, two or three, and then you look again and there's 3,000 or 3 million, and then there's like one person, you are, Jesus is present, and you are so close. You are so close to each other in the reality of God. It's what we are made for. In that day when this crazy sin nature of ours is no more, and the curse that came upon the human race is no more. And there'll be a community and a sense of God that is so rich. And it goes on, the enlightenment, the blessing, the honor, the power, the glory. These are the words that are given here in the book of Revelation. great words. So now this is the worst it gets. This is the worst it gets, this life. It's the worst it'll ever get for you. It's the worst. In this 70 years or whatever God gives you, and whatever you go through in this life. And marvelously, we are told that he will not give more than we can handle, 1 Corinthians 10:13. We are told that our light affliction is only for a moment. And we can always find people who have suffered much more than we have. And we marvel at them, and we pray for them, and we love them. But glory be to God, it doesn't get any worse than what happens in this lifetime. It's the closest we get to hell is in this life. And the curse that is on you and me in our sin nature, the blasphemy, the unbelief, the foolishness, the lust, and all these passions and desires, that is the worst it'll ever get in your life, in this curse. Because when we leave our body, we are out of it. And we are not going to a place where there is any curse. We go to a place where there is nothing except the pure enlightenment of the nature and the person of the living God who loves us and made us in his image. We are made for it. And the day is coming. Maybe it's sooner than we realize. For Ray Kurowski, I think it was sooner than he realized. But it's over for him. He ran his race. Hallelujah. Beautiful. Thank you, Lord. He's done. Hallelujah. And then he's not done, because there is more and more and more. And I think we will be an unusual race of people in heaven. We are those that came out of this cursed place. We are those that have been bought with his precious blood. We are those that have been elected by our heavenly Father. We are those that are crowned with the glory and the honor of the Son of God. We are made like unto him. And in the wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the wedding of the bride with the Christ, there'll be no difference. We are one. We are called by one name, for we are called by his name, Christ's name. We are the bride of Christ. And we'll be there. And then we will be saying there, Lord, too, when do we go? When do we go? When do we go on our honeymoon? When are we going on the earth? When will the earth have the glory of God like the waters cover the sea? When will the animals lie down with each other? And who knows, maybe even animals will talk in the millennium. We do not know that, and I'm not saying that. But who knows about the changes that will be happening and the kingdom of God that will be on the earth as he intended it and as he planned it. It almost sounds like a fairy tale. But somehow it resonates in our hearts. Fairy tales are what we are made for. It goes like this. Once upon a time. And then the villain came. And the curse, and then the hero came, and the hero made it right, and they lived happily ever after. That's what I'm for. I throw my lot into that game. I'm all about that. I believe that's what I want. I don't know if you just want a cemetery with a pile of ashes and there is no more, then you can go for that. But I like to believe that that Christ was raised from the dead, and that that Christ is the one that changed us so that we would not be guilty and afraid and ashamed, But we could taste the glory and sense of the reality of being loved personally by our Heavenly Father and being told that you did not choose me, I chose you. Because I am God and I can do as I please. And we think, thank you, God. We don't understand it. I got a free will. But thank you so much for making this happen to me. And the kingdom is coming one day. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And let's say that too. The fear of God. This is when the angel came down and swooped and preached the everlasting gospel. He said, fear God. This is a good word for every generation. Fear God. What do you think? You know everything? Fear God. What are you, a smart aleck? Fear God. What do you think? You know what is happening here? Fear God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. He will not share his wisdom with people that are proud or arrogant. He will not show his ways. He will not restore a soul that is living in a pride complex or an attitude of arrogance. No. Fear God. That is what we need. The fear of God and trust in him. And he will show us and reveal his secrets to us. Yes. There is a heaven, and there is a city. And then lastly, in that city, God himself will come, and there'll be no temple. There'll be no temple there in that city. God himself will be the temple. It seems there's an upgrade all the time, and you come to that ultimate place where you can't get any greater. And that God dwells in the midst of his people. And that we will be there in that city, whatever that will mean, with a new heaven and a new earth. And the unfolding plan and the revealing of his grace. And the mystical working of his nature and his character in us. Because somehow we are like the city. It says, you want to see the bride? And he showed him a city. I don't know what it means, but somehow the city and the bride, they go together. And I do not understand it, but I know that you and I are wired for this. And somehow it seems so incredible, but why wouldn't it be incredible? If you have ever seen a fish in the sea, it's incredible. Or bacteria growing, or a plant come out of the ground, or the stars and the cosmos and the Milky Way. Why wouldn't it be incredible? Why wouldn't it be incredible that God that made us to talk and think the way we do wouldn't also say, the reason you're talking and thinking the way you're thinking is because I made you like me. It's that old argument, when your stomach is empty, it just says, there's got to be food here. I don't believe in food. Well, there's some reason why your stomach is groaning. There's some reason why you are hungry. There must be a food. And when a man is made in the image of God, it's like we're groaning for God. And there must be God. And there must be a heaven, and there must be a better world, and there must be eternal life, and there must be forgiveness, and there must be a more excellent way. There must be something I do not see or understand by sight, but I believe it in my heart. And this book is saying it. And we are reading, fear God. And if we fear God, these things fall together and we can live here in a useful way and bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that have never heard it before. And bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that desperately need to hear about a living God that personally cares for them and forgives them and restores them and gives them eternal life. Wow. It's amazing, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus.